Hello, everybody. And as I said before, I appreciate everyone taking time out to learn some Torah, to hear some words of inspiration. It's very meaningful, especially since we're right before the Yontif of Shavuos. I'm going to wish everyone a good Chodesh, a good month. We just started Sivan, the month of the Yontif of Shavuos. Shavuos is known as Man Matan Torosenu, the Yontif that commemorates Hashem's giving of his Torah to the Jewish nation at Mount Sinai. At Sinai, all the sick amongst the Jewish people were healed. Imagine, Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, they just left Mitzrayim, they just left Egypt, after years and years of slavery, of toil, of back-breaking labor. Many were sick, weak, broken in body and spirit. Yet, when they stood at Sinai to receive the Torah, they were all healed from whatever ailed them. The weak were strengthened, the blind were able to see, the deaf were able to hear, the lame were able to walk, the brokenhearted became complete. It was a time of extraordinary miracles. That blessing of good health that took place at Sinai should be with all of us. The Yontif of Shavuos should bring strength and healing to the weak and sick amongst us. Hashem knows what each and every one of us needs and should bless us accordingly. It is customary to read Megillas Rus, the Book of Ruth, on Shavuos. Megillas Rus was written about 3,000 years ago by the Navi Shmuel, the prophet Samuel. Yet, it speaks to us today. Its story is our story. Why Rus on Shavuos? Why do we read the Megillah of Rus on Shavuos? In fact, we read it the second day of Shavuos. This year, it's going to be on Shabbos. So those of you who, while you're at home, take out your Tanakh, open up to the Book of Ruth, and you're going to read a most magnificent story. Back to our question. Why do we read Rus on Shavuos? Rus was a convert to the Jewish faith, and she made a commitment to Hashem with much love and sacrifice. Just as Rus accepted Torah and mitzvot with great enthusiasm, come Shavuos, we reaffirm our commitment to Hashem and his Torah with love and enthusiasm, just like our ancestor, Ruth. Ruth was the great-grandmother of David HaMelech, King David. She was called Aim B'Malchus, a mother of royalty. Being that David HaMelech was both born and left this world on Shavuos, we honor him by reading about his lineage on Shavuos. The Megillah of Rus opens with the words, Vayehi b'yamei shefot hashoftim, and it was in the days that the judges judged. Our rabbis teach that whenever the word Vayehi is used as an introduction, something tragic is about to occur. Vayehi, from the words vay haya, oy vay. It was a time of big oy vays. We also find this with the opening words of Megillas Esther, as it opens with the pasuk, with the passage, Vayehi b'yamei Ahasuerus, and it was in the days of Ahasuerus. And the opening of the book of Jonah, Vayehi Devar Hashem El Yonah, and the word of Hashem came to Yonah. All three books open with the word Vayehi, times of Oy Vay. The book of Ruth, tells us about a Ra'av Ba'aretz, a famine in the land of Israel. Food was scarce. People would go searching in the fields, but to no avail. We are introduced to Elimelech, the Parnes Hadar, the philanthropist of the generation, a most wealthy man to whom all would turn to in times of need. People flocked to the home of Elimelech, knocking on his door, with the hope of returning to their families with some bread, some food to bring to the table. But alas, the doors were locked, the windows were shuttered. Try to picture this scene. People coming from all across the country, knocking on the door. They left their homes with the hope and the prayer that Elimelech will help. Elimelech will have the answer. They will finally be able to bring some food home for their children. Their wives will have something to serve. But no one responded. All was dark and locked up. Elimelech abandoned his people, together with his wife, Naomi, their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. He left his town of Beis Lechem, Bethlehem, and went to live in the country of Moab. Elimelech had the great opportunity to use the gift of wealth that Hashem bestowed upon him and share it with the needy, with the hungry. He was faced with a challenge. Would he be there for his people during these difficult times, or would he abandon them? He had the power and financial means to sustain the poor, but he was unable to live up to the challenge. He was afraid that if he would help just a few destitute people, then many more would come knocking on his door for assistance. Where, he wondered, would he draw the line? How would he decide who to help, who to turn away? How would he have enough means to help so many? Instead of being a source of support and sustenance for his people, he packs up and leaves to Moab. How ironic that Elimelech, who came from Beis Lechem, which literally means, it comes from two words, Beis, house, Lechem, bread, house of bread, a community known for giving and sharing, for helping the hungry and needy, moves to Moab and lives amongst a nation who's known to be just the opposite. The Chumash tells us that when Bnei Yisrael, when the Jewish people left Egypt and traveled through the desert, they met up with the nation of Moab, whose people didn't even offer the travelers a cup of water. The words are, Asher lo kidmu eschem belechem omayim. They didn't even greet you with bread or water. We tend to think of challenges as disabilities, as hardships. However, even the blessings of great wealth or extraordinary talents can be viewed as challenges. The test is how to channel these gifts in positive ways. Will we give of ourselves to others? Will we use our God-given gifts, our talents, and capabilities to bring tikkun, healing, to the world and make our world a better place? The choice is ours to make. Elimelech and his family settle in Moab, but tragedy befalls them. Elimelech soon afterwards passes away. It is said that he broke the heart of his people, and he died of a broken heart, as he couldn't live with his decision to abandon his nation in their greatest hour of need. Following Elimelech's death, Naomi and her sons remain in Moab. The brothers marry sisters, Moabite princesses. Mahlon marries Ruth, and Chilion marries Orpah. But once again, tragedy befalls Naomi. Her two sons pass away, leaving her with two childless daughters-in-law. Upon learning that the famine in Eretz Yisrael is over, Naomi decides to return home. She begs her daughters-in-law to return to their mother, for she knows it will be a difficult life for them in Eretz Yisrael. Both girls are at loss of words and break into tears. They love Naomi very much and don't want to leave her. The Megillah relates, they raised their voices and wept. They had no words. Ultimately, Orpah kisses Naomi goodbye, and Ruth, Dovka Bo, she clung to Naomi. Dovka is from the word Debek, glue. She stuck to her. Once again, choices. Orpah chose to stay in Moab. Ruth chose to follow Naomi. Ruth so eloquently tells Naomi, where you go, I will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Footsteps. Ruth literally followed in the footsteps of Naomi, following her all the way from Moab to Eretz Yisrael, the long road home. But even more so, Ruth spiritually walked the walk of Naomi, becoming a true Bas Yisrael, a daughter of the Jewish people. Footsteps. Very often, my mother, the Rebbetzin, Harabanit Esther, Bas Harav Avraham Halevi, Zichrona Levracha, would tell over a story of footsteps, of how her father made a path of footprints for her in the snow to make it easier for her to walk in the deep snow. He explained how the Zaydas made paths for the grandchildren, for future generations, paths laced with learning, with prayers, with tears. My mother would say, every one of us has a Bubby, a Zaydi, who made a path for us, who wept for us, who prayed for us. The footsteps of our grandfathers are here. We just have to follow them. Naomi made footsteps for Ruth, just as our grandparents made footsteps for us. We just have to follow the path. Choices. The choices we make can change our lives forever. Sometimes our choices not only affect us, but future generations as well. Orpah's great-grandson was Goliath. Goliath, while Ruth was the great-grandmother of David HaMelech, King David. We all know the story of how the two faced each other, David and Goliath, how Goliath wanted to terrorize and harm the Jewish people, and David stood up to protect his nation. We can ask, what did Orpah do wrong? After all, Naomi begged her daughters-in-law to return to their mother, to remain in Moab, which is exactly what Orpah did. So why did Arpah become the great-grandmother of Goliath, while Ruth merited to become Ainba Malchus, a mother of royalty, a great-grandmother of King David? Our rabbis explain that it wasn't Arpah's decision to remain in Moab that was wrong. The problem was her mindset after making the decision. Arpah gave up on herself. She saw herself as a failure, a loser, and acted accordingly. She totally gave up. After her decision, she went on to live a promiscuous lifestyle and continued on a downward spiral of spiritual decline. She felt like a failure. Our choices can have impact not only on our own lives, but on the lives of future generations. Ruth famously said, "Where you go, I will go." What was it about Naomi that influenced Ruth to follow her, to be one with her? Nowhere in the Megillah do we find deep philosophical discussions between Naomi and Ruth about Hashem, Torah, mitzvot, Shabbos, Yontif, Kashrus. Yet, Ruth was ready to give up her life in Moab and follow Naomi to Eretz Yisrael, not knowing what would be awaiting her. What touched Ruth's soul, her neshama? It was the love and kindness that Ruth saw in the heart of Naomi. This is a life lesson for all of us. How do we touch another soul? How do we reach out and connect to another neshama through love, kindness, and understanding? Like Naomi, Ruth lived a life of kindness. She stood by her mother-in-law's side even after her husband tragically passed away. She became one with the Jewish people and wished for nothing more than to be a mother of royalty. Hashem rewarded her. She married Boaz and ultimately became the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. Megillas Rus tells us about different choices, choices that affect not only us, but our future generations. Elimelech had a choice to remain in Israel and help his people, but he chose instead to abandon them and settle in Moab. His sons, Mahlon and Chilion, similarly, had a choice to return to Israel after their father's death. They, too, chose to remain in Moab. Ruth and Arpah had a choice of staying with Naomi and returning to Eretz Yisrael or to remain behind in Moab. Ruth chose to return with Naomi, embarking on a journey of self-discovery that changed the destiny of the Jewish nation. We're not always in control of our life circumstances. Elimelech couldn't stop the famine. Naomi, Ruth, Arpah couldn't bring back their husbands. But we are in control of how we react to what life gives us. The Megillah speaks to us today. We're not in control of our life circumstances. Right now, we're not in control of COVID. We don't know what tomorrow it's going to bring. We don't always understand Hashem's ways. But we are in control of our reactions, our choices. How do we utilize our time? If we wish, we can make this time a time of personal growth, a time of creativity, a time to connect to Hashem. We could utilize every moment properly. We are in the middle of Sfira. We're counting day by day as we approach Shavuos. The message is, make each day count. we can use this time to connect to others. Open your phone book. Check your contacts. Find someone you haven't reached out to for the longest time and reconnect. We can make this time an opportunity for personal growth, a time for prayer, a time for learning, a time for connecting to Hashem and connecting to those around us. Let us remember my mother, the Rebbetzin's words, to always be a blessing. No matter what, always try to make choices that bring blessing into the world. I wish everyone a good Shavuos. Be sure, Shabbos afternoon, to open up to the book of Ruth. It's four short little chapters. It's a little book, but good things come in little packages. It's a treasure. You're going to enjoy reading every word, and it's full of life lessons. And also, we spoke about the Bubbas and the Zaydas making the path. On Shabbos, we say Yisker, so please remember to do that. And as a young girl, Shavuos night, my mother always used to take us children outside and tell us, look at the heavens above. Know that it's Shavuos night. It's the night that Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Reaffirm your commitment. Just like the Jews at Mount Sinai said, Na'aseh v'nishma. Take time out to say, Na'aseh v'nishma. I will do, I will accept, I will listen. I will make the words of the Torah, I will make mitzvot part of my life. Thank you all for listening. I am looking forward to the day where we could all be getting back together at class and I could see everybody's face. I can't wait for that. And at this time, we're going to unmute everybody and we could all wish each other a good Shavuos.
Hi, Sarah, it's Harriet.